Interference, visual interference, we need enhancers. There could be noise in the way. That can be another thing that noise could be. It could be getting in the way of your visual experience. But this is an audio feature. It's a podcast. What's going on? We are Tech Radar. We are Laptop Mag. We're all part of Future Publishing, and we're here to get into your head and talk about tech. Let's find out who's on the pod this week.
Hey, it's Sherielle Smith here, editor-in-chief of Laptop Mag.
Joe McCann here, deputy editor of Tech Radar.
Gerald Lynch, executive editor of Tech Radar.
And Gareth Beavis, global editor-in-chief of Tech Radar. Well done, everyone, there for going completely off the running order, but you made it sound seamless. So well done. Really proud of you.
Yay.
Yeah. Behind the scenes, everybody, we had to restart that intro. I did well better on the second one. I'm pretty pleased with myself. Right, big question. Amazon happened last week, as in Amazon's massive Echo Ring everything event. And I'll be honest, we will talk about this in a minute, but one of the big things was there was a drone announced, the Ring Always Home Cam. The Always bit scares me. Always Home Cam that will fly around your house and have a look and see what's going on a preset route whenever you want it to, or whether it decides there's something wrong in the house. That is creepy. And we'll get into the whole idea of privacy and stuff later. But the idea of something flying around your house is pretty cool. So what do we think we would like to have flying around our house? Gerald, I feel like you can start with a nice piece on this.
Oh. I have two ideas. One is, both are bad, but both would be good. So I would quite like a decent sized screen that can fly around my house, so I don't have to miss a moment of a show or a sporting event that I may be watching when I have to do other things such as cooking or using the toilet. So it could just follow me about.
How big?
Huh?
How big is the screen? How big does the screen need to be? Because I mean, you could just use a phone. Or an iPad.
I did say while I was using the toilet, Gaff, and sometimes maybe you've got your hands busy, right? So, you know, how am I going to carry the phone then?
Oh my.
What did you put on the floor?
Well, I don't know how you like to use the toilet, but I tend to keep my head facing forwards, sometimes from a standing position, sometimes from a seated position, but definitely not staring at the floor.
Much more hygienic as well, because you don't have to touch the device.
Yeah, don't have to touch the thing, exactly.
Yeah, in this post-COVID world, that sounds very sensible.
Sorry, I'm the knob here. Sorry, carry on.
Yeah. Other than that, I don't know, a butler, innit?
Yep.
Flying robot butler.
Could just walk. But
what's better, a butler that walks or a butler that flies?
Flying, yeah, thanks.
There you go.
Okay, Cherie, you put your hand up for the answer for this, and I went straight over you to Gerald.
I have two answers.
Oh my God.
One, I would like a flying remote control, because no matter what, you're always looking for the remote. It starts out right next to you and then it just disappears. I want to be able to press a button and it extracts itself from whatever Narnia land it's going to, and it flies to your head just in time for you to change the channel. And my other answer is I would want a flying Bluetooth speaker, so I can have a soundtrack to my life as I walk around my house.
Alternatively, have the flying butler bring them to you.
Yeah, I'll say, like, have the flying butler sing them to you, I thought you were going to say. Like, just, like, constantly do a cappella versions of wherever you wanted. Is it a robot butler or a butler that is on a jetpack, like a human butler?
Yeah, jetpack. No, robot with a jetpack.
Okay, obviously.
But what about the flames in the house?
The longer this conversation goes on, regardless of other things we start like going into, I'm now starting to think what I really wanted all along was the flying toilet, wasn't it? That's
oh no!
So the toilet can come. The toilet can come to me, where my good TV is, rather than me having to go to the toilet and bring a flying TV.
Oh my word! Well, let's hope that Gerald isn't the next Elon Musk. I think.
I mean, he won't be at this kind of chat, so it's fine.
Whoa, 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 whoa!
Well, yeah. So let's hear from John. John's, you get five goes at this apparently because everyone got three.
Well, yeah, everyone else has done two, so I've panicked and gone for two. My first one, which is more sensible, is an extension of Cherie's one. It's a flying smart speaker. So, you know, it's great when I'm walking around my house and then I go, okay, Google, and then realize I haven't got a Google speaker in the particular room that I'm in. And to save me having to buy multiple speakers, why don't I just have the one that can fly around the house? That'd be lovely. So, yeah, that'd be nice, flying speaker. And then my second one was flying toilet roll, because I always hate it when you're on the toilet
this
and then
guy.
You look And oh my God, there's like a single sheet left. And you're like, that is not enough for what's just
this
happened.
Guy gets it. This guy gets it.
And then like, what do you do? So yeah. And in fact, I've had that exact situation at Gerald's flat.
What, a flying, there you are. A flying robot bringing toilet roll?
No, running out of toilet roll.
I just remember CES. Yeah. That was there at CES, wasn't it? It wasn't flying, but it was a robot that brought you toilet roll this year. That was one of the big stories.
Which just tells you what CES is like these days.
Yeah, true, yeah. They invented the DVD player there, but that's what happened instead. I've been trying to think about something like this because I keep coming up with really boring ideas, like a flying extension lead because I sometimes can't reach behind my sofa to get it. I'm like,
that is boring.
Wish you could fly up. Yeah, that's number one. Second one, a flying mirror.
Yeah, also boring. Next.
No, just like, no, not like all the time, but sometimes I need to have a quick check on something. I've got to go to the mirror. Like, it's miles away.
What, at home? Like, yeah. What are you...
What are you checking?
When
Gareth's in the toilet, he likes to look down, doesn't he? We've already established that. So,
Joe, don't make me open up a private conversation and talk about you and mirrors. I think I'm going to give the points to Gerald, though, everyone else's were just too sensible. It's not for the flying toilet, though, Gerald, because that's weird. That's just a bucket being brought to you. you put a toilet seat on a bucket, it's exactly the same thing. Doesn't really matter if it's toilet shaped or not.
I'm just thinking, if your butler jetpack runs on is diesel, then you can run it on vegetable oil and then it smells nice.
You see? John is following through on the idea. He's taking it to the next level.
Following through.
Making it a reality. Also, I don't know what sort of bucket you have in your house, Gareth, but my bucket don't fly. So if you've got a flying bucket, you want to be sharing that.
Yeah, I know that, Gerald.
Well.
Yeah, I know that.
Well.
Yeah, but if I've got a flying toilet, it doesn't need to be a whole toilet shape, does it? It doesn't need a cistern and like a U-bend, does it? Because
you're thinking too small.
I'm not. I'm just thinking, why would you want a whole toilet shape? What's the point? It's really heavy.
Like, I worry about splashback.
I would have the entire plumbing array flying, like down into this.
What?
It would have its own septic tank. There might even be like, I don't know, a strange man.
Just build a toilet in your lounge.
A strange man who lives in the sewer. He flies along with it as well.
How big are your doorways? How big are your rooms to basically have an entire flying bathroom follow you around?
It's funny because
it's funny you ask.
Though you say that, because my entire flat is a toilet, so there are.
It's not meant to be, but it's just how you use it.
It's just how it's ended up. That's COVID, isn't it?
All right.
Cherie, you win the points. I'm getting out of this.
Take
it away. Right, what's been happening this week? Well, let's go back to Gerald again because it's Amazon Echo stuff. Gerald, what do we know about this? The price, for instance, or just what it does?
Well, we know quite a lot about it. So there's a few Amazon Echo speakers, new ones. They get an annual refresh. Normally, we'd have a big event out in Seattle that everyone attends. But this year, as per the lockdown restrictions, we all watched in on a live stream. So there are new Echo Dots. You've got a kids edition. You've got a regular Echo Dot edition. And you've got a regular Echo Dot Clock edition. Then you've got an Amazon Echo, which is your standard go-to Echo. And then you've got the Amazon Echo Show 10. Now, all of them look a lot different this year. So you've got more like a dome-like shape to the speaker enclosure.
Think a crystal ball, but fabric.
Yeah, exactly. Half a football, two-thirds of a Death Star. however you want to call it. So they've lost that kind of cylindrical shape, and they're going for something that Amazon thinks fits more more naturally into your home. I don't know if that's necessarily true. I think they look.
I agree. I think it looks way better now. This kind of like ball with a flat bottom.
Well, one of the things that they said during the event, which I thought was quite interesting, was when that first Echo speaker was launched. Cast your minds back. It was a very tall. Plastic case with like
Pringle tube,
yeah, perforated holes in it. It looked very industrial. It looked very gadgety, It's an interesting thing about when you introduce a new product category, right? You want this thing to look like the future. You want it to look like a gadget, you know. So having this speaker, which looked not like a regular speaker, not fabric covered, no sort of visible. Driver units and that kind of stuff kind of served it well in saying this is something new This is something that you've never seen before, never used before, and you need to think about this differently. Now that the Echo line has become a little bit more familiar to us, actually having a speaker that looks a bit more like something that could sit in the background of your home, something that is a little bit more softer looking, kind of makes sense now. You don't have to explain away the contents of the product through its visual design anymore. So I thought it was very interesting remark they made. As for the speakers themselves, they reckon that the spherical shape will improve audio performance, give you a bit more of a not quite a surround sound effect because the driver units are still front facing, but a better dispersion of sound. And the kids' edition of the Echo Dot looks like a panda or a tiger, so that's cool, right?
Any big podcast fans there would have noticed that Gerald went into professional mode. Whenever he starts to describe something, he goes from like Gerald having toilet chat to like, and here's some really interesting facts.
I have got it in me. I have got it in me when I want to. And also, we should talk about the all-new Echo Show 10 as well. So as you know, you can get some Echo speakers that come with a built-in smart display, and you can get things like the latest headlines, weather, news reports, sporting scores and smart home controls, all that kind of jazz. This one now...
Sporting scores, yep.
Sporting scores, the ball kicking. So the new Echo Show 10 kind of has a kind of a cylindrical base, not unlike the Echo Studio, maybe a little more kind of tubby than that, but it also sits on a swiveling base upon which is also a 10-inch display. So what it does is it's able to recognize kind of like an active participant who's working with the show for whatever reason, watching something, asking it questions, and it will turn to face them. So it kind of segues in nicely to my flying TV idea earlier, in that maybe I don't need a flying TV. Maybe all I need
is an Echo Show. That's what I was thinking when you said it.
It's the long game. It was the long game. You know, you had to wait to get there, but you had to question me. Anyway, so yeah, it turns to face you in a room. And so if you're maybe walking around your kitchen and you're trying to follow a recipe on the screen, you can go from one end of the room to the other and not lose sight of what's on the display.
Yeah, that's a really short room, though, to be able to still read a 10-inch display from far away.
Sure. That's true.
Isn't it? I think it's more for video calls.
Yeah.
If you're on a video call, you can move around the room and you won't fall off the screen. It will follow
yeah.
you.
Yeah. And
you look like a fancy hipster cookery show. You're like, oh, I'm just having fun. Just like boshing it.
Yeah, exactly. But also I think if you're doing a group video call, as in there's more than one person involved with the Echo Show from that kind of end of the call, it can turn to face that person. As it hears where the direction of the voice is coming from, is my understanding.
Cherie, are you frightened by any of this so far?
I mean, I don't have like I don't have any shows or anything like that in my house. Like, I honestly, the only smart like appliances that I have are my TVs. Like for real. Like, I don't have Google Home. I don't have any Nest cams. I don't have any Echoes or Echo Shows or like Echo Ding Dong. So I like the idea of something always listening, that like it definitely gives me pause. I just don't I'm not cool with something always like it just seeing how sensitive Alexa or whatever digital assistant I have on my smartphone is. Like, I could say something that sounds like, well, I'm not going to say it because it'll activate it, but it'll activate is like, I wasn't talking to you. Why are you being so nosy? Get out of my life.
I mean, it's interesting that the whole privacy thing around, you know, like always listening, because we talked earlier about the always home cam being like, whoa, that's freaky. And Amazon's gone really hard on the privacy of that. So when it's docked, the camera will be shut down.
This is the drone, right, Gareth?
This is the drone, sorry. Yeah, the one that flies around the house, it will follow a preset route. And when it's docked, his camera can't be seen. So that's more, in theory, more private than other ones. Then also, when it's flying around, you can properly hear it, apparently. It's like, just so people don't get scared, there's like a flying silent drone that's going around you. So it's interesting, like the idea of privacy, people get more scared of a a camera that's really obvious and really nearby than, you know, like I said, these things are watching all the time. Although it was interesting, Amazon went really big on privacy this year. Like,
yeah,
finally got some big news about
To play devil's avocado to the whole privacy argument around.
You tripped yourself up there by saying avocado, didn't you?
I know. I do like saying devil's avocado. to play devil's advocate to the privacy concerns around an Echo speaker, I find it more worrying with a smartphone, to be honest, because the smartphone's ability to track like data purchases, app usage across different services and platforms, wherever I am in the world, not just in my home, gives me the feeling that they have far more contextual information about me than the Alexa system does. Please don't answer Alexa. I do have an Alexa speaker right next to me.
Stop saying Alexa. Then.
Sorry.
I'll solve the problem. Yeah.
There she goes. But yeah, so Mike, I don't quite understand the privacy concerns. I guess there's the thing of like, I act differently in what I say and do in the comfort of my own home. But in terms of Amazon knowing more about me than, say, any smartphone app manufacturer or smartphone manufacturer, I don't think is necessarily true. So I don't think the privacy concerns with smart speakers are any greater than with every single mobile device we use.
Yeah, fair. Yeah, I think it's just the notion of what's there. Like, people are more scared of a big flying buzzy thing than they are the fact that all this data is being siphoned. But talking of which, going into the cloud with Amazon again, Lunacy.
Yeah, so the cloud gaming wars are getting a little bit more interesting.
Explain what cloud gaming is, just for those that don't know. Because
I was coming
worried.
To it. I was coming.
Okay. I'm sorry. I just know you get overexcited.
So if you aren't aware, cloud gaming is basically it's not even brand new. They've been trying to make cloud gaming happen, God, since On Live. But neither here nor there. It's a service that would allow you to play your games, be they casual games, be they AAA titles, using your phone, using a low-powered laptop and what have you. You're basically streaming the game over the cloud. So cloud gaming. All of, like, you basically have a virtual computer that you're working from and you game that way. And so far we've got Google Stadia, we've got Nvidia GeForce Now, we've got Shadow, who else am I missing? Xbox, xCloud is getting into the mix, and now Amazon is getting into the mix. They have just announced Luna, which is their oh, and how can I forget Google Stadia? Well, everyone's forgotten Google Stadia.
You said that first up, you're good.
It's just, like, so Amazon's getting into the fray with Luna, and they are opening up for pre-orders. Well, you can sign up. They're not letting anybody in yet, but it's going to be interesting to see what Amazon does with this, because not only is this a new gaming service for them, and they've been kind of dabbling in the game production side of things with Valorant. Which, is that even still available to play? Did they, like, take that down? I lost track of it. It seemed like it was a big hit, and then they were like,
I think it's
taking our ball and go.
I think it's still going.
Yeah, so they started there, and now they're going, and they own Twitch. So this has a lot of applications for them if they manage to pull this off right. And by pull it off right, meaning having enough games outside of whatever the company itself is making in their publishing house, and bandwidth, making sure that everyone can play it smoothly without any real latency or problems.
I mean, John, this is going to be a bit different because it's going to be sort of channel-based, isn't it? You know, you can subscribe to as many bits as you want of Luna, right?
Yeah, there's like a base package, which is $5.99 in the US. I don't know if we've got pricing for outside the US at the moment, which gets you base access and access to a variety of games. But then, yeah, there will be developer channels that you can subscribe to on the side. Again, pricing TBC. We know Ubisoft is going to be a channel coming soon, says the website, and how much that will cost. So yeah, $5.99 over 12 months, it's just over $70 a year, which, you know, for technically a console is not bad. The controller is $50. So, you know, considerably cheaper than a PS5 or an Xbox Series X. But at the same time, the games are going to maybe be a little older, or maybe out, or if they're new for Luna, maybe a little less involved. There are console titles there, like Overcooked, for example, is there. But if anyone who's played Overcooked knows, it's not exactly the most intense in terms of processing or graphics. But yeah, it's an interesting cheap alternative. But at the same time, there's so many options now. I struggle to see how all these new services can compete with each other. You've got PC gaming, you know, straight up. Yeah, and you've got Steam and the Epic Game Store on that, almost rivaling, and others as well. You've got the new PS5 coming out. You've got the new Xbox Series X and S coming out. And then you've got Stadia, and okay, not to the same level, but there's the Apple, what's it called? The game?
Arcade.
That's it, Apple Arcade. Like, everyone's doing it, and it just feels like it's getting to a point where it's just like, it's getting to almost where we are with streaming, where, okay, I need a Netflix subscription, and a Prime subscription, and a Disney Plus subscription, and like Peacock, and Hulu, and it's just, it's getting so messy and so confusing, and if anything, it's going to create a fragmented gaming sort of industry, in my view, and it's going to be difficult. And if one particular title is exclusive to a particular like streaming service, it's just like, okay, I'm just not going to play it then. I'm not going to sign up to yet another streaming service just to play this one game.
Go on, Joe. I think don't underestimate old man shouting at a cloud syndrome as well, because like I think for me and you, John, you know, from our glory days, putting 20 pence pieces into arcade machines and, you know, having Super Nintendos and Mega Drives and Genesises and SNESes in the US, like...
Genesis.
We've come from, like, a different approach to media generally. Now, if you'd have told me 15 years ago that I'd never buy another, like, CD, right? Because I would put my faith in some service that I subscribe to for a monthly fee to like send it to my phone instead, and I don't actually own any of it, I'd have been like, that's the craziest thing I've ever heard. I don't want to take part in that, blah, blah, blah. But familiarity can breed
contempt.
Contempt, yes. It can also breed confidence. and I think over time, This is a very long play, I think. I don't think anyone wants to miss out on this. The fact that all of the major players are involved, right? Sony's doing it. Microsoft is doing it. Google's doing it. Even a company that isn't technically a games company or is only in its fledgling state a games company. Amazon's doing it. Everyone knows this is where it's going. People want access to all of their media wherever they are, in the same way that we're now used to it with Google Docs and Google, like the G Suite of apps, and being able to pick up a Netflix show on my flying TV in my toilet as well as in my living room. Like, it's going to change.
I want to go back to the flying toilet question. obviously,
must we?
Yeah. So if you must we, hey, are you thinking that you want it because if you go to the toilet for a wee, you're going to miss too much of the game? Because I feel like it's a longer toilet break that you'd want it there for.
Yes.
So like, just get an iPad, chuck on the back of the door, whatever.
Gareth, now you're talking about a very specific toilet configuration. Now, for me, my toilet...
I regret this. Moving on. Gaming. Microsoft acquires Bethesda. Cherie. This is big, right? I didn't know it was this big. I feel really bad in the production meeting. I was like, oh, is it big? They're like, yes, Gav, it's one of the biggest things of all time. I'm like, I wasn't paying attention.
Like, this is so... unexpected from Microsoft. Like, we for the last console generation, like, we were getting at them because, okay, you supposedly have the world's most powerful console, but where are the games? Where are the games outside of third-party games that people can easily, just as easily get on PlayStation? And now they just come out the box with this power move. With the acquisition of Bethesda, they, which is also ZeniMax Media, they get Elder Scrolls, they get Fallout, they get Arcane, so Prey, and Wolfenstein, and there's a lot of stuff that comes out of Bethesda. And now it's all under the Microsoft banner, and it's such an unexpected move. It's such a masterful move. It like really hammers home the point that Microsoft is serious this time around. Like, we want to be the premier console. We want to be the premier service. And they can choose to be like, it's such a power move. They can choose to be benevolent. And like, okay, we'll still let we'll still let the new Fallout appear on your platform, Sony, or not. And like, no, it's exclusive. All your base belong to us now. So it's just such a big move. And then add on to that Microsoft has low key been buying up publishing houses. Like, I don't even know.
Double Fine, Obsidian, Rare.
Did it buy Rare?
Yeah, it bought Rare. That was a while ago. That was a while ago. But yeah, they bought Rare.
And don't they have Ninja Theory?
Yep, Ninja Theory.
Yeah, so they are low key, they are really double, like, no, we are about games. This is not a joke. We are here to be your premier system. And the rumor has it that they're not done buying, so who knows what else might come up on the who knows, what a power move would it be if they somehow managed to buy Konami.
Right, unfortunately, because of the way that we time this, really annoyingly, Google is about to happen this evening, so by the time you hear this, you'll know everything. So if Google has bought Microsoft, then we apologize for not covering that right now. but what do we know so far? We know that there is going to be very likely a Pixel 5 tonight. We know for certain that there's a new Chromecast coming because people have been able to buy it in the shops. Well done, Google. John, what are you excited about for the Pixel 5?
Well, we're hoping that it builds on the excellent camera capabilities of the Pixel 4 and the Pixel 3 before that and the Pixel 2 before that. What Google can do with a single camera is quite amazing in terms of its software processing. All of our smartphones are getting multiple cameras now, 3 rear cameras, 4 rear cameras, 5, 6, however many, loads of cameras. But Google isn't getting caught in the camera hardware game. He's actually getting into more of the software behind it and making great photos using its own smart. So yeah, you can get some really nice photos from these. Pixel 5, hoping that it, again, takes another step forward in the photo arena, but also it looks like it's going to bring 5G with it, which is always nice, although 5G to a lot of people is still because it's not actually really available in many places. It will be great in a few years time where it's completely rolled out and the speeds are cranked up to another notch as well, but what it means right now is that you get future-proofed through it. There's also going to be a 5G version of the Pixel 4a, which we've already seen, which launched earlier this year, which is a really nice, more affordable snapper. Again, single camera, but can take some really nice snaps. I've actually been using it for vehicle photography over the last few months, and that paired with Snapseed, it actually works really well to bring out some really nice, vibrant images from what is very much a mid-range phone. So Pixel 4a 5G, just future-proofs you a bit better. Pixel 5, it's going to be the handset which really shows off Google's next generation of Android and Assistant smarts. That's really what the Pixel line, the main Pixel line, is there for. It's Google can go, look, we've done this and this. Last year, it built in transcription technology right into the handset, which didn't need an internet connection. So that means you could record a conversation and it would live transcribe it on the phone. There are apps already available that do that, but they require an internet connection to make the transcription work. So Google building it in basically an offline version on the handset was one of the things that it debuted on Pixel 4. So we can expect more sort of software innovation from Google with Pixel 5. Google already said earlier this year that it would launch the Pixel 5 and the Pixel 4a 5G. So those are handsets we will see. It's also confirmed in the build-up to the event that we will get a new Chromecast and a new Nest Audio. And Chromecast, people have actually gone out in the US and bought it from stores because some retailers have gone early. So we definitely know that. It's Chromecast with Google TV. So it uses the Android TV interface and gives you a bit more chutzpah about what's going on screen. The Nest Audio has also looks like it's been spotted in at least one store with some photos appearing of it on the box. Looks like it might be a new Echo rival, maybe a replacement to the Google Home, but there'll be full coverage on all of Futures Technology sites this week.
That was very slick, John. Very slick indeed. Cherie, the final thing we want to get on before we get to the news blast where Gerald is going to smash it up is Intel 11th gen laptops. Are they good? Really?
They are actually good. I had the pleasure of reviewing two of the first to be out, the Asus ZenBook 13 and the Asus ZenBook Flip S. They have 11th gen Core i7 processors, both of them, and they also have Intel's new integrated graphics, the Xe graphics, which actually allows you to play some AAA titles on something as thin and light as a Dell XPS or a ZenBook. I put this to the test. I played Control. Granted, you can only play it on low, which meant that when I was trying to like avoid enemy fire or navigate, there was just a whole bunch of motion blur when I turned, which was like disorienting, and there was a little bit of stutter, but it actually worked and I was pleasantly surprised. The thing that is really like with any new processor generation, you expect more power, more performance, so you are going to get that, and there's going to be more power efficiencies. But Intel is rolling out the evolution of Project Athena, and is now called Project Evo, and some of those things that come with being a Project Evo laptop, you get Thunderbolt 4, USB 4 is coming, Wi-Fi 6, and the laptop in question has to be thin and light, and it has to have at least 9 hours of battery life. And I'm seeing that so far the laptops are living up to the hype. I actually gave the ZenBook 13 a 4.5 stars editor's choice. So it's a $1,000 laptop. It lasted about 12 hours on a charge. Comfortable keyboard, lovely display. The Flip S is my favorite of the two. It's just got all the bells and whistles, and you know I love extravagance. It's a beautiful 2-in-1. It's got a 4K OLED touchscreen, and that does kill the battery a little bit, like, which is unfortunate.
Worth it.
It is, oh my God, when you look at the display, you're like, yes, it is worth it. So if I had to recommend, if you're think you're going to be on the go or you just don't like plugging in your system, definitely go for the ZenBook 13. If you want all the bells and whistles, then go for the Flip S. It's absolutely gorgeous.
Well, I do want to get an Intel processor with a laptop involved as well now. I feel like you've told me that it's all the truth.
I'm very glad that it's living up to the hype. I'm really excited to put it to the test against some AMD Ryzen processors to see how that's going to look.
Right, let us go to the news blast. Gerald, are you ready for this?
I think so. What I think is interesting is while we've been talking, Gareth has been deleting my notes that went alongside these pieces to make it more difficult for me, I think, to beat his record, which he thinks he's doing slyly because everyone else is paying attention. But I've got my eye on both the podcast running order and the podcast video stream at the same time. And
he's running scared. I'd say he's running scared.
And I have the added distraction of my little brother constantly trying to call me at the moment as well. he'll have to wait. Hope that ain't an emergency.
There, Joe, have it all back then. Go on then. I just didn't want you to read it out. It looked too scripted to me. So I was like,
No. It was so that I didn't make mistakes, but you know.
Fine, they are. They're all back now. I'm not afraid.
I want to make sure that our listeners get accurate reporting, not just fast reporting.
Well, it's the name of the game, Gerald. You've got to balance the two.
They're not going to get either, to be honest. Let's see.
Right, Gerald, are you ready?
I'll do my best.
3, 2, 1.
Amazon Prime Day cheap sales kick off on the 13th of October. Scientists are developing a new coronavirus tool that lets you use your computer to track the build of the virus. Borat 2 is coming to Amazon Prime Video exclusively. The LG Wing 5G is priced, revealed at $999. Batman is getting a scripted podcast turning a new story exclusive to Spotify. HTC's foldable phone may be in the works based on a new patent. Google Docs gets a dark mode for iPhone. Disney Plus is adding a new watch-along mode where you can add emojis as you view. Farmville is shutting down. NHS COVID-19 app in the UK has been downloaded 12 million times. You can get a load of new free Xbox games this month as part of your subscription, including Sphinx Curse of Mummy and the Maid of Skier, as well as Costume Quest. You should be charging your Nintendo Switch every 6 months, or the battery may die. Nvidia G-Sync now works with the new RTX cards and Ampere cards with LG OLED TVs. And I've run out of things on my list. That was 13. Boom.
Well done.
With time to spare.
All right.
Well done. That was good.
I'm just waiting for Gareth's excuse as to why you haven't beat him, though.
Well, I've got a couple. Farmville shuts down?
What do you need to know? Everyone knows what Farmville is. It's shut down.
You know what Farmville is?
It shuts down at the end of the year and on Facebook only.
I said it's shutting down.
You said shut down. Farmville shut down.
To shut down, I said. Go back and listen to the thing.
We'll do afterwards.
Farmville to shut down. Farmville is shutting down.
Wait, I'm going to give you. I can't say anything against that. I just, you know, as long as it's accurate, that's all that matters. Let the readers decide. Let listeners decide.
I've given people headroom as well by just, like, you know, beating your record and then just walking away with like 10 seconds to spare.
No, it was very, very good. Well done.
It's like when you know that race where you see Usain Bolt looking over his shoulder, like, because he's finished and he knows he's finished. He's like, these losers.
Fair play.
In my dust.
Yeah, well, you know, I'll be back again. Don't worry. But very well done, Gerald. You know, take a big game player like me would go around, look in the mirror and say, what can I do better? And I will do that. You know, you did amazingly well today.
Yeah, I mean, a underdog like me would remember that Gareth tried to delete my notes.
Yeah, but I was worried you're going to write. I was worried that you're going to read off them. And you didn't. So fair play.
I didn't. No. I don't need that to. You know, I don't need to cheat to be successful.
I would just have explained some of the stories better, but that's just me. I just like to do it properly. But, you know, you did really well, so I'm proud of you for that. So usually right now we would do the unpopular opinions section of the show, but we've just seen today. Unfortunately, we've had news that one of our dear colleagues, Andy Clough, who was Mr. What Hi-Fi, someone who, you know, we've all known very well within the company, he's been an absolute stalwart of What Hi-Fi, has unfortunately died at the age of 58. So that's just coming in right now. I just wanted to quickly bring that up because I think, for me, I mean, Andy Clough was a wonderful editor. You know, we became colleagues, I think, a couple of years ago when Future acquired Haymarket and What Hi-Fi came along. But I've known What Hi-Fi in the industry for so, so many years because it's that absolute archetypal brand that knows exactly what it's doing and does it amazingly well. And Andy was absolutely the linchpin of that. So it's really sad that we would hear about that. So obviously we're very sad, and you know, our thoughts go out to his family and to the What Hi-Fi team as well, who they had an incredibly close, just a very, very close-knit team. And even during his illness, they stayed really close, and he would just find a way to make it through to get people together and feel like there was still that really team ethic. And I know it's going to continue under Joe Cox as well. So very sorry to hear that. I think that's all we've got time for this week on the Noise Cancelling Podcast. Thank you, everybody, here for coming along and listening to this talk about flying drones and Bethesda and what's going to happen tonight on Google. Let's hope that something massive doesn't come across and change everything, the landscape of tech. But thank you for being on here. Gerald, have you had a good time? Well done for getting to 13. I'm very proud of you for hitting that.
Thank you. And yeah, I'd like to, you know, add my condolences for Andy as well. A lovely, lovely presence in the office, Andy, and really, really kind, nice man.
John, have you had a good time?
I have had a good time. Rest in peace, Coffee.
Cherie?
A great time as always, and I'm really sad to hear that we've lost a member of a future family. I didn't have the pleasure of making his acquaintance, but from what you're saying, he was a very lovely person to work with, so my condolences to his family.
And yeah, obviously, like I said, I knew Andy pretty well. Like, we'd sometimes see him at the local park run. You know, he was a real avid, energetic guy. So again, it's really sad to hear about this. But thank you again for listening to this podcast. We always do like to hear from you, so please get in contact in many different ways. We're Tech Radar on Twitter. Cherie, how can you get in contact with Laptop Mag?
You can get in contact with me, Miss Smith 11, M-I-S-S Smith 11 on Twitter and Instagram. And of course, go to Laptop Mag, Laptop Now, Laptop Before, and Laptop Forever. And definitely send us your pitches, because we're looking for more diverse voices and we want to hear from you.
Gerald, how do we hear from you?
You can follow me on Twitter at GEEGEEMidnight. GEEGEEMidnight on Twitter.
And John?
I'm at JJ McCann, M-C-C-A-N-N on Twitter, and John B.M. McCann on Instagram.
And I am just Super Beeve, or Don Super Beeve on Instagram, but I don't use it. I just look at other people. And also, obviously, go to Tech Radar for everything you want to do on the socials. We've managed to lock down that handle really nicely, so thank you to our social team for that. This has been the Noise Cancelling Podcast. If you're listening to this on Apple Podcasts, please give us 5 stars if we're worth it, because that helps us get up them charts. If you're listening on Spotify, do subscribe. Basically, subscribe wherever you get your pods, because we are lovely. And like I said, get in contact if you want to. We want to hear from you. We want to tell people about what the listeners are thinking, and we'll be back talking to you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.